Let the show begin. You guys have fun out there today.
Hello, and welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content is simply the opinions of the hosts and our guests. So, without delay, let me introduce our hosts, George, Tom, and Kelly.
Hello, and welcome to episode 53 of New Shooter Canada. This week, we're going to talk about how to make your home safer. And I guess we'll start off with our typical what we did in guns, and I'll start off because I, again, have done nothing. Actually, I don't think I've shot since the beginning of August.
Same thing every week. You've got to go shooting that.
It's a month.
No, I think it's been almost 2 months. It's
really?
Since the beginning of August.
Kelly and I went shooting today.
We didn't go shoot together.
No, what? Not yet.
Well, Tom, how about you tell us what you did in guns this week?
I took a newbie shooting today.
Yay!
I did. I ran into an old... I love social media. I had an old friend. I hadn't seen her in, 35 years. And she noticed all the... she sent me a friend's request, and she noticed all the gun pictures, and she asked me to take her shooting, so I took her up to Port Perry today, and Nancy got to shoot my compensated 22 with a red dot and my Smith & Wesson 22, and we took her out to the outdoor range, and I bruised her shoulder up really good with my 12-gauge pump.
Nice.
So it was fun. She had a great time. And then I took the red dot off my compensated 22. No, I took the spark off the 22.
Mm-hmm.
I took the hollow sight off the AR, and I put the spark on the AR. Then I put the red dot back on the 22. So I've just been switching optics since I got home. So,
okay, Holosight. Who makes it?
Holosight.
Ecotech.
Mine says Ecotech. No, mine says Made in USA.
Does it say Ecotech or?
No, it doesn't say. Actually, it just says Bushnell. USA. Eotech was making them.
You have Ecotech in the show notes.
Of course.
And it's spelled with a... Never mind. We love you.
That's my Trevor irritant. That's why I put it in that way.
I figured you did.
I can't afford an Eotech.
Now, what is the actual proper pronunciation of that?
Eotech.
Okay.
Yeah. I can play the voice snip that Trevor sent me. He repeated it several times. Eotech.
Oh, we're good, thanks.
It was a freebie. When I bought the Benelli MR1, it came with the hollow sight on it, so.
Is it hollow sight?
It's called, Bushnell came out with it, and mm-hmm. It was designed by Eotech originally, and I think they stopped importing it. I think they actually had them made at Taiwan. So the first one or two generations were actually made by Eotech, and the rest I think were made by somebody else, and then they don't make them at all. But it was free, so I'm not complaining.
Okay, is it hollow sight or?
Hollow sight, like holographic sight.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I don't know why.
Well, the nice thing about the hollow sight or the Eotech or the Spark is that they're daylight bright. So mm-hmm. They're great outside. Where my Bushnell Red Dot's crap outside. So I decided I'm just going to stick with the Bushnell on the compensated 22 with the Red Dot because I shoot it mostly indoors. So if it comes to outdoors, I've got a holographic sight that I'll use on my other 22. And I'll just keep the Ruger as an indoors pistol only.
Pistol
or I can buy a new gun.
That's good.
I was looking at one of those GSGs. But they're a zinc alloy, it's like a 1911 wannabe. The safeties are plastic. The sights are plastic. So
you don't want it.
What I'd really like is a Smith & Wesson Model 41. But I don't
buy it.
I don't have $1,700.
You got two extra $100 from the BB gun.
The pellet rifle. Yes, I do, actually.
From the poor cadet that he milked for it.
No, yeah. The cadet backed out. I gave the kid a couple months. I never heard back from him, so I sold it to the guy that owns the resort that we go to every year. I brought it up. He saw it. His kid loved it. Sold.
Okay.
So I made $70, and I didn't rip off a kid.
Yes, he did. The resort owner's kid.
I saved them $350 plus shipping. $150 plus shipping.
So, Kelly, right. What did you do in guns?
I met up with Jasmine on Tuesday.
Cool.
Went out and had dinner. It was his birthday. He was in Kingston, so it was nice to see him. He was talking about Caliber Radio Quebec. And
it was his birthday? How old was he?
I don't know. It's not like I gave him birthday.
Nobody knows how, birthday knows how old a jazz man is.
Let me say, I actually do. So I'm not going to say, because it's not nice to say on air. But he's younger than me and older than George. How's that?
Okay, that's fair. And younger than me.
Okay, so how old is George and Kelly then?
Anyways.
How old is George and Kelly? So we have a reference point, just saying.
No.
Kelly is not going to let that one out of the bag.
We're not going there, George. Anyways.
She's younger than Kevin.
George is holding on to his 30s by his like fingernails.
All right, so Jasmine was in town. And he said that he is hopefully going to have the podcast up and running within the next little while. And it's just going to be him. He's going to do both English and French.
Excellent.
So, which is awesome.
Good stuff.
So we'll have hopefully a fourth podcaster in Canada within the next little while. So SFRC, I went there, and Canadian Tire yesterday. And need more ammo. And got some stuff for the range bag, but other than that, not much. Kevin bought another AR lore. Like, he needs another one. He has 6. Oh, my goodness. And
didn't you just buy 250 rounds in 9mm? And you shot it already?
No, not 9mm. But what else did we get? Oh, we had to get some stuff for the little. He has a little Savage Mach 2 bolt action. It's the camo, pink camo. Anyways, he bought it for his daughter. She doesn't use it at all, so he wanted to use it as his backup gun for Appleseed when we could do it again. So we wanted to take it out, but we really needed to build up. The cheek and also the back of it as well. So we had to go and get some stuff from Canadian Tire and all that, and some locks and different things. So
he's gonna try an Appleseed with a bolt action.
Yeah.
Wow.
A
good
pink
for him.
Bolt action.
Yeah, he tried it today. It works pretty good. I tried it as well, but it's
good on him.
It's not as
That's gonna be challenging.
It is a challenge. We did the, speaking of challenges, we did the squirrel challenge today, and
that's a tight target.
It is ridiculously difficult, so, but it's fun. And that, I kind of sunk 2 ships. What it is, if anybody doesn't know, we are given a challenge, and we try and shoot it, and this month, it was from 25 yards, it was Battleship. And you try and sink your battleships, and you have to hit each circle on the battleship in order for, and you have to hit each of them. And if you miss any of them, you don't sink the battleship, and therefore you don't get the points. I think I might have gotten 3. I don't know. I kind of got a little off in the corner in one of them. So, anyways, so I got 3.
Just 30 cal it.
Yeah, 30 cal. You have
to sink your own battleship?
Mm-hmm.
That's not how the game gets played. You have to sink the other person's battleship.
Anyways.
And the hit is only in that small circle, not the square?
No, it's the square, I believe. The small circle is about the size of
smaller than an attack.
It's smaller than the end of an eraser, so it's really, really... It's smaller than a 22 round. So I doubt that. So it's pretty small. So it's from 25 yards, and you got 90 seconds. You have 20 rounds, and you have to do a mag change. Anyways, it's pretty difficult. So that's what I did in guns today. Shot that little Mark II and my own Ruger 10/22, which I love, and shot the challenge. So, yeah, that's it.
The Mark II, does it have the adjustable trigger, or is it just a straight Mark II trigger?
It's the straight Mark II.
It doesn't have the inner trigger.
Oh, no, it does. Sorry. Yep.
So you can, at least you can dial the trigger pull down on that.
Yep, you can a little bit. So, what did we do in Guns in the News? I'm just taking over for George.
Well, you went straight from your guns, what you did in Guns, straight into the Guns in the News. So
who's lead host this week? George? Well, George.
I was supposed to be, but...
That's what I thought.
I heard crickets.
You barely took a breath. I don't even think you took a breath. You just went straight into Guns in the News.
Well, she had her dinner and a coffee. She's been going nonstop.
All right. No coffee. So, Guns in the News. Thomas, take it away.
Guns in the News. Gunmaker Remington Arms and plaintiffs in two class action lawsuits have formalized a settlement agreement under which the company will replace triggers of millions of guns, including the most popular bolt actions. Under the deal, which was reached in July and filed in federal court in Kansas City, Remington will replace the X-Mark Pro trigger on all Model 700s and Model 7 rifles manufactured between May 2006 and through April 2014. It's also agreed to replace XMP triggers and a number of other models, but did not acknowledge any equipment defects. Dozens of lawsuits have been filed against Remington over the past three decades, several by people who claimed injury and death from guns that misfired. In 1994 Texas case, a jury awarded $17 million to a man who lost a foot. In 2010, Remington issued a statement saying that its Model 700 had been free of defects since it was first produced. But in April, the company issued a nationwide recall on both the 700 and the 7 rifles. The company claims in the settlement that excess bonding agent used in the assembly process could cause the rifles to discharge unintentionally. The assembly process has been reworked to avoid similar problems in the future, Remington said. On its website, Remington urges all of owners of the models identified in the recall to take the guns to an authorized repair center or ship them to Remington, with Remington covering the cost. It also encourages owners to immediately stop using the rifles until they have been inspected and repaired. Also under the deal, Remington agreed to pay vouchers ranging from $10 to $12.50 to each owner of older models that cannot be retrofitted with the new trigger mechanism. The settlement caps the amount of attorney fees, court costs, and expenses Remington must pay to $12.5 million, and the deal still has to be approved by a judge. Owner of these affected products should contact Remington, and they do have a link on their website directly for the lawsuits. If you just go on Remington's website, you'll see the link there, but we'll include one in the show notes. So, George, what's story two this week?
I
talk about story one, or we're not allowed? What's the deal?
I love Remington went out and bought the domain remingtonfirearmsclassactionsettlement.com.
That's hilarious. That's the link.
That's the link. That's funny. They went out and actually spent money on a domain. That's funny.
Well, I guess if people are looking for their $10 or $12.50 voucher, they can always contact there.
Well, what's funny that they say they've been free of defects since they were first produced, but there's been massive claims for the last 30 years. And they didn't acknowledge there was a problem until recently.
And
exactly.
Maybe
they
I'm
even
misunder-
did a, they even did a big story on, what was it?
Oh, the R-51?
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy recently who was suing them because he apparently shot himself through the stomach and into the pelvis.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unless I'm misunderstanding this, that $10 to $12 voucher is only for the owners of the older models that can't be retrofitted with the new trigger mechanism. So they got to continue using their faulty trigger mechanism, but now they have a $10 voucher?
Well, they're told to stop using all their firearms.
Okay, well, what's a $10 to $12 voucher going to do? Because according to this story, it's for the ones that can't be retrofitted.
Yeah.
Like, that makes no sense at all.
They get $10 off their next Remington.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the one they currently own, they have to destroy.
Yeah.
Because it can't be retrofitted.
No. And then they also... trigger mechanisms are just going off.
You can put a Timony trigger in there, but they're going to cost you... I'm guessing $150, but Remington won't warrant anything if it's not a warranted Remington product.
What a mess. Well, All I can say is
I do know who's getting rich off of this. It's the lawyers. Anyways, that's just me.
Well, I'm not going to be tripping over myself trying to buy a Remington product, that's for sure.
No.
Well, there was an issue with the 870s, but the article didn't mention the 870s. They were also having issues, too.
Mm-hmm. Remington Firearm Class Action Settlement.com. It still makes me giggle.
Well, the big problem, too, is that they're buying out a lot of smaller companies. Like, we did a thing on the show a few months ago with the problems they had when they had the Remingtons, when they took over Marlin. And they're also having the same issue now with the Thompson Centers, because they try to move the company to New York. Oh, by the way, Remington's moving out of New York now. That one I didn't include. But they take over all of these other companies, and they run them for a bit. Then they offer the employees packages to come to work in New York with Remington, and they don't want to. They've got their homes and their family set up. Nobody wants to move across country. So when Remington actually takes over the production at their plant, they don't have the skilled labor that once produced the firearms. So now they got new people, and there's nothing but problems. I think they took over the Thompson Center, the single shot rifles. There's been all kinds of issues with the barrel linkage and the action not closing properly and everything else. So. And then look at, Parent Ordnance. They took over Parent Ordnance, and then they decided, we won't call it Parent Ordnance anymore. We'll just call them Remingtons. So, and then they just lost the whole high-end line of nice 1911s. They're a mess.
So,
all right.
Story two. I'm sorry, lead host, for stepping on your toes.
Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. All right, this one's an update on an earlier story, the Hamilton Amnesty Program. Hamilton police have launched a 6-week citywide gun amnesty program. Two shootings last weekend were the latest in a series of recent violent incidences in Hamilton, and what police board chair Lloyd Ferguson called an unacceptable spike in the use of weapons in our streets this summer. In August, 18-year-old Sharik Dowse was shot and killed in the North End. A couple of things have happened in recent months that have caused everyone some grave concern, said Mayor Fred Eisenberg at a police headquarters press conference announcing the amnesty Wednesday morning. Giving people a chance to turn over unwanted guns is, quote, not the only solution to gun play and gun violence, end quote, in Hamilton. Eisenberg said, but it's certainly one thing that we can do to get some of the guns out of our community. One less firearm out of the community, in my view, is a positive step, end quote. Quoting again, we need to do everything that we can to attack the supply of guns, said Hamilton Police Chief Glenn DeClaire. Removing unwanted guns will reduce the risk of having firearms stolen from your residence that will eventually then fall into the hands of police, who will use the gun for... Sorry, not police, that was a bad slip.
Only if you get caught with it.
Well, you know, we've had some stories where the cops, there's been officers that have had nefarious intentions. Eventually then fall into the hands of people, not police, people, who will use the gun for criminal purpose. A police-run firearm amnesty program in 2014 brought in 374 guns and 1,900 rounds of ammunition. The mayor has called together a task force to address youth gun violence. Its first meeting is next week. The program collects registered or unregistered rifles, shotguns, handguns, and ammunition. Police also collect replicas or pellet guns, as these could be used by criminals to imitate actual firearms. Firearms are destroyed after they're collected, police said. And somebody's deleting the last line. So that's the end of the story.
Yeah. Now, so anyway,
if you want to go in and decide you're going to take your pistol or your restricted firearm, do you have to call for an ATT for that?
No, they're going to come to your house and pick it up.
Yeah, you have to call them. You're not supposed to actually bring it.
They don't
it
want
in.
You to bring any firearms to the police station.
Oh, so mm-hmm. You actually have to... So it's not like in the States where you bring your guns to a set location.
Nope.
So you call and they come and get them.
One less firearm now, out in the community, in my view, is a positive step.
Are they gonna call?
Trips over shoelaces.
Are they gonna call the RCMP and get the transfer request started and then apply for their ATT to come and transport it?
They don't require it.
He's being facetious.
I'm being a bit of a smartass. I realize if it's a cop showing up at your door, but.
Well, I like what they do in the States when they have these gun buybacks. A lot of gun shops will actually set up. They'll set up a booth just before it and then put a different arrow. Because send them here, we'll pay you $20.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that where the guys will be standing across the street holding up signs, like if they're doing the gun buyback for like a $75 gift card or something, they'll hold signs up. We'll buy your guns for $100. I'd be one of those guys across the street holding up one of those signs for sure.
Okay.
Sell me your guns.
Sell me your guns.
So if you want to get rid of your guns, contact George Hatch at New Shooter Canada, and he'll take care of you.
Thomas. Anyways, I thought it was an interesting story because we actually had the story about a month and a half ago, but they were thinking about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they've decided to do it.
It's happened before. Toronto's done it a couple times.
Yeah. All right, story number three. I guess I'm up.
So, Kelly, story number three. Take it away.
Thanks, George.
You're welcome.
So this is actually happening in my hometown of Kingston, and we thought it'd be a good segue into tonight's topic. So here is the story. Remaining suspect in home invasion apprehended. Members of the Kingston Police Street Crime Unit located and arrested the last of five suspects believed to be responsible for the home invasion that occurred last week on Sydney Road, north of the 401. At approximately 4:30 p.m. on September 22nd, officers attended a residence on Compton Street. You guys don't want to go there. It's not a good place. Anyways, where the 17-year-old male suspect was located and arrested without incident. His name or other identifying information cannot be released as per legislation under the Youth Criminal Justice Act. So this is just a little background on the... background on it. Shortly after 1 a.m. on Thursday, September 17th, police were called to a detached home on Sydney Road, north of the 401. It was determined a group of men had entered the home and assaulted two of the occupants. The attack left a 43-year-old male with multiple stab wounds. While his injuries were not life-threatening, the victim did undergo a surgical procedure. The second victim, a 22-year-old male, was treated for head injuries caused by blunt trauma. The male will attend, so going back to this, it's not very well written, but the male that was arrested, so the 17-year-old, will attend a bail hearing. His charges are similar to the other accused. It'll include attempted murder, robbery, aggravated assault, assault with a weapon, break and enter, and wearing a disguise. So, the little Dickens, he's a bad boy. So, that's story number three. So it's all about what we're going to be talking about tonight. How do we make our home a little secure? So right now, if you have an alarm system, that's wonderful, but the alarm system is not always 100%. And there's several additional low-cost methods to make your home more secure from the outside invasion or break-ins. So basically people who are trying to get in your house. So let's look at our windows. You can place alarm stickers, decals, and you can also put on beware of dog decals on the window where it'll be likely visible. I have one. It says beware of an overly friendly boxer. So
that's really going to scare them.
Yeah.
Prepare to be licked to death.
But do you really think they want to come in the house with the boxer?
Well, and the boxer's going to start barking.
Exactly. You know. So, like, mine says she's overly friendly, but I don't think anybody's going to come in because of the fact that she's here. So, number two is use timers to turn off and on lights and a radio at various times to give the house a lived-in look, even when you're not there. So that's great for if you're on vacation or whatever. Make an additional lock for the windows to prevent someone from lifting the windows from the outside. You can put bars if they're sliding in that as well. Close the curtains and lock the windows when you go out. There is no reason to let someone see inside your house, especially if they can see valuables or gun safes. And number five, if you have a window or air conditioner, securely fasten it to the window so it cannot be easily removed. Very good idea. And number six, apply safety glass film to your windows. This will stop a window from shattering and slow down a forced entry. Okay, Thomas, what do you got for doors?
Well, for doors, make sure that your door, you're using a solid wood or a metal door for all exterior doors, and make sure they fit snugly into the frames. A steel frame door is even better. It's harder to break through. Mount deadbolt securely to the door frame and secure tumblers with plates. When you're actually installing your lock plate, try to use longer screws to put it further in. It makes it harder for the door to be kicked in. Consider a security bar to be used on your door when you are home. What I actually have is an 18th century axe head that I keep with the door. You open, and as soon as you open the door, it hits the axe head and it wedges the door and you can't open it any further. Installing
that's a really good idea.
Yeah, anything weight on a 45 on an angle, so as soon as it hits it, it just sinks in. They also have those little travel door alarms that you have for hotel rooms. You just put it in the door, on your doorknob, and somebody rattles the doorknob. It's like a little motion sensor. They're a good idea. You can get those at Canadian Tire pretty cheaply. If you have an outside door with glass, like mine, unfortunately, consider replacing it with safety glass or metal grill work or something, or also that film works good as well, too. The other thing I should have put in there, if you've got one of those picture frame doors, think of installing a double-sided deadbolt. I had a friend whose house got broken into, and that's all they did. They just smashed the glass, reached inside, but they couldn't undo it because there wasn't a latch. You needed the key to undo it on the other side.
Good idea.
Yeah, good idea. But you also think of fire codes, too. It might be against the fire code in your area. Install a wide-angle peephole, and a chain lock. Do not leave notes in front of the house saying you're not home. So don't tell a little note to the paper boy saying don't deliver this weekend. Speak to him in person. Don't put a note in the door. And don't install a pet door. Even if you need one, consider an auto-opening pet door triggered by your pet's collar if for a big enough pet. But the pet door is an open invitation to anybody's homes.
So shrubs and trees. Don't grow trees where they obscure the view of your windows from the road or your neighbor's house. If you have large trees, be sure no load-bearing branches are close to the second-story windows. You don't want somebody climbing your tree and smashing a second-floor window. Consider installing prickly shrubs under windows to make it a very uncomfortable place for a would-be thief to ply his illicit trade.
Who wrote this?
This sounds like Thomas. For a would-be thief to ply his illicit trade. Certainly not my vernacular.
No.
Install a metal grate on all basement windows or install a steel bar halfway down the window so the gap is not large enough for someone to climb in.
Mm-hmm. So, let's talk about drain types. Plastic drain types are less likely to support the weight of a thief than metal ones, which is true. Number two is cover your drain pipes with an anti-climb paint. Really?
Something smooth.
Okay. Or grease. I'm not putting grease on my drain pipes. Starting at about 8 feet above the ground.
A lot of industrial places do that. They'll actually oil their pipes so the kids can't climb up the pipes.
All right. Okay, sliding glass doors. I think, Thomas, you're up.
Oh, you're doing sliding glass doors. Okay, I'll do sliding glass doors.
I said, Thomas, you're up with sliding glass doors. Are you?
Well, sliding glass doors...
No, it's still you, because Thomas is doing garage.
Okay, I'll do sliding glass doors.
I'm so glad we're so organized.
And I'm reading the show notes from my phone, because my computer's down.
All right. So use vertical lock bolts and shatterproof glass on your sliding glass doors. And number two is insert a properly cut piece of wood on the bottom track to prevent the door from sliding. That's easy peasy, and it's a really good idea, everybody. Drill holes and insert screws along the door frame so the door can't be lifted out of the tracks. Again, very easy to do and a very good idea. Porch, keep the light on, boys. So always keep your porch light on at
night.
Yeah,
I usually keep mine on at night. Yep. If you've got a garage, there's a couple things to do. Have a switch inside your house that lets you turn on and off the garage light from inside the house. Mm-hmm. Or install a motion sensor light outside your garage door in other strategic locations. So it's not a bad idea to put a motion detector on your front. Anywhere there's a door, mm-hmm. it's a good idea to put in. If you have a door from the garage into the house, this must be properly secured. I actually, if you've got a garage attached to your house, that inside door is the most vulnerable place in your house, because once somebody actually gets into your garage, they mm-hmm. can work for hours to get into that door. So I've got a couple things I didn't put in there. If your garage door is the segmented pieces with the wood inserts, mm-hmm. it only takes about 20, 30 pounds of pressure to kick one of those panels in. All the kid has to do is just kick the panel in, goes in, and they stick the panel back in. So it's a good idea, if you've got the segmented doors, just run a strip of wood along the segments or put a strip of metal across so a kid can't kick in the panel and get in. And do not put a picture frame door inside your garage door. You want it to be a metal door, and you want it to have dead bolts. Because once a person gets in there, they've got all day to work on the door. They can unload your whole house, have everything sitting in the garage for when their truck comes in, gone. So that'd be my suggestion. What else here? If you've got a quick release rope on your garage door opener, tie it really short so they can't go underneath and pull the rope. And if you have an automatic garage door opener, they are known to fail. So once the door is closed, actually have somebody that's fairly strong just go up to the garage door and see if they can lift it and see if it actually defeats it or pops it off the rails. So you can just make sure that your actual garage door opener is staying locked when the door is down.
Other precautions to take. Have lampposts or floodlights to light your yard at night. Remove shadows, and you remove a thief's best nighttime friend. Make sure the floodlights are too high to be easily reached, and use bulbs that are shatterproof. Make sure you stow away any ladders after finishing with them. They are a great and convenient way for a thief to break into your second story. Keep trestles, picnic tables, and lawn furniture away from your house. Don't give a thief an easy leg up into a window. Thieves don't like noise, and while a dog won't stop a thief, it will make him consider another property, especially if he has no special reason to choose your house over another house. And I've heard this on other shows and, you know, news documentaries that if they hear a dog barking, it could be a little tiny chihuahua. They'll pass your house and move on to the next one. It's just, that's one extra aggravation and thing they don't want to have to deal with.
Right.
Exactly.
So go out and buy your kids a dog. You know your kids want a dog, go out and buy them a dog. And tell the wife, you heard it on New Shooter Canada, it's a precautionary measure. It's for the safety of the family. You need to buy a dog.
They also have motion detector sound effects. So if somebody breaks, it's just an audio recording. If somebody breaks a window or something, it sets off an alarm and just dog starts barking.
Yeah.
Nope, you need the real thing.
Yeah.
Kids will love you for it.
Something with teeth.
Yeah. Somebody actually walks past my driveway. My dog goes from 0 to 60 to the front door and smashes into it. Bam! Anyways, so she kind of really doesn't look like, you know, the dog that will lick you to death, as it says on the picture. She looks like a dog that'll tear you limb from limb. So I'm good with that.
Yeah,
well, boxers look like that. Boxers look like they're a vicious little dog, but really they're super lovable little animals. But they've got that mean look to them.
Now, with all that being said, your breed might want to be something to take into consideration. Yeah. There was this farmhouse I went to once, and it had a chocolate lab. And he came charging out, barking and snarling and everything else, and he got right up to about 2 feet away from me, and I stood there looking at him. I'm like, really? You're a lab. You're not convincing anybody. But he sounded ferocious. He never came more than a couple feet, like within a couple feet of me, and he was barking and tearing up a storm. But I'm like, dude, you're a lab. Come on. You're not convincing nobody. Now, fast forward to the next time I was at a farmhouse that had two shepherds. Now, I love dogs. I'm not afraid of dogs. I got out, I looked at the shepherds and kind of went, ugh, doesn't look like anyone's around. You know, dogs are going to act differently. And I thought, you know what? We'll see how they act. I got the package out. They lifted up their heads, started growling. The package went back in the truck. I got in the truck and I said, piss on this. They can come pick their package up.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Take that for what it is, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It worked against you. It made you go away.
Well, yeah. Because they're shepherds, and I know a shepherd will attack, right?
Yeah.
Shepherds are great dogs, but they are, you know, the police use them for a reason, right? Military use these dogs for a reason. You know, a lab, he's running around the airport looking for drugs. They're stoner dogs. You know, you don't see too many Labrador Retriever attack dogs.
No, it's true.
So.
Alright, so. I guess I'm taking over, am I?
Yes, right where it says Kelly.
Kelly!
Consult your local bylaws before installing any window films, window bars, or physical barriers outside your home.
Kelly, thank your voice you. Has gotten deeper.
So, in Kingston, let me tell you about Kingston. Kingston, you're allowed to install barriers or bars on your windows. And when we first moved to Kingston, I moved in with my mother until we found our own home. And she has had bars on her windows. And I'm going, holy crap. Like, I thought about it as well. A lot of times they actually don't allow you to install. A lot of towns don't allow you to install the bars because of fire hazards. But I guess in Kingston, well, in her area that she was in, there's a lot of theft and things like that going on. I don't recommend it on all your windows. Make sure that you have some windows like on second stories and things like that that you can get out as well. So that's for Kingston. All right.
I'm not sure I'd be putting bars on my house more from an aesthetic point of view.
They don't look great. And resale value, what does it say for your house? What, you know, the area that you live in and that. So, you know, when I read the story just a minute ago, and I said Compton Street, she lived just, you know, near there. So that's why I said you don't want to go there. Anyways.
Well, it's different here. We have fortification bylaws in Durham where you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to put any physical barriers. You're not allowed to put films or bars in the windows, but you, because of the bikers.
Yeah, do you want to read that part of it?
Due to fortress design by main biker clubs, municipalities now have fortification bylaws to prevent groups from fortifying their clubs and residences. These bylaws include all residential dwellings as well. They do allow some items to apply to private residents, but you have to get a letter from the township beforehand. So just check your local building codes and bylaws. The best thing, I know a friend of mine actually is a distributor for that film that you put on the windows, and it won't protect the frame, but you could take a sledgehammer to that glass, and it stays intact. It's like the safety glass in a car. But even that, they don't want you to put on your windows.
So one of the things that you did not list here, so I thought I should add it, is if you have any streetlights, especially those that are in front of your home, make sure that they are working. If they're not working, then contact your municipality and have them come and fix it. So they did that with the one that was in front of my house. They dug up my driveway to do it, but they fixed it, and now I have a light on in front of my house. So, yeah.
That's a good point, too.
Yeah.
Because they will target a house at night that's completely black.
Exactly. And if you have people that are breaking in, why don't you put up in the tree that's in front of my house, I have now a camera. So. The trail cam. I'm hunting people as opposed to deer right now.
No, that's not why I was laughing. I was thinking back to my little tangent about getting a dog. Many years ago when I was married, the neighbor had a mastiff, and my ex-wife was afraid of dogs, and she was terrified of this dog jumping over the fence, and so tried to use her fears to justify us getting a dog, because I was like, well, just think, if we have a dog in the backyard, the dog will attack their dog, and therefore protect the children, and we can get the children in the house. I came within an inch of getting a dog. I almost sold it.
Oh, you got rid of the woman and you got a dog. How's that?
Actually, it was funny. As soon as she left, I was on the phone with the rescue group. Yeah, I'm going to start fostering dogs. So I ended up getting my dog. But anyways. But yeah, it's where there's a will, there's a salesman behind it, and there's a way.
And a dog.
And a dog.
As my dog snores beside me.
Puppies.
I didn't get my first dog till I was 45. I think Terry finally felt bad for me that I never had a dog growing up, so she bought me a dog.
Aww.
I'll have a dog till the day I die.
No. All right.
So is that it for that? Beware of fire codes. Keeping bad people out is one thing, but you have to get out in case of a fire.
Yeah. Right.
You know, sometimes I think you listen to some podcasts, and I think sometimes they get a little overboard with it. You know, you can't, you know, like Thomas was just saying, municipalities have fortress bylaws. If your house is getting to the point where it's a fortress,
move.
Yeah, you either got to move or reevaluate the likelihood of your house being broken in, like.
Right. One of the things that we didn't talk about at all, and I thought that we maybe should, is the fact that don't advertise that you have guns. Don't invite people in and show them, "Ooh, look at my gun safe." You know, things like that.
Yeah, gone are the days where you can have a gun rack in the living room and people come by and see it.
Yeah. So just make sure that you're not advertising.
Yeah, I'm bad for that. I've got
posting on Facebook all these guns you're shooting. Oy.
Or eBay.
I've got two gun cases, and generally I'll put two guns, like one gun in each one, and if there's a third or fourth rifle going out, it's going out to the car with no case. Oops.
Oh well.
So I'm bad for that one.
Alright, so we have never mind, I'm just gonna...
Dyslexic?
No, I'm waiting for George.
Oh. So, that takes care of that, so we're on to listener email.
There you go.
So, Uncle B writes in, and, actually, before we get to this, I think Wanda mentions the email address. If it's easier, you can go to our website, and under Contact Us, I've got a form in there. You just put, and this is what Uncle B did, just put your name in there, your email address, and your comment, and you hit send, and it comes right to our email. It goes to host@newshootercanada.ca, but if you want to do it from, usually what I do is I do it from my phone. If I, like, email Armed Squirrels or something, they've got the same thing on their website. It's perfect. So if you're on your phone, just go to the website and go to Contact Us. It's really easy peasy. Hey, great
minds think alike. And we'll read your letter on the air.
Yeah. So,
your messages on Facebook, we'll answer you on Facebook. But if you write in, we'll talk about it.
And for $5, we won't read your email online on the air. So, Uncle B from blah, 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 blah at hotmail.ca. Anyways, Uncle B writes in. I was just listening to your latest episode. Actually, this one should probably be Thomas reading it, but...
Why?
You can get a Boyd's Stocks with adjustable cheek piece. It's in the custom options.
I went in and had a look at that today.
I wasn't on the last show.
I was.
Well, I know they have them. I didn't mention that one because the basic stock is under $100, so you avoid the...
Right.
The import charges.
There's very limited, though. There's the varmint. It's very limited. But yeah, they're available, and it looks pretty cool.
Well, they are cool looking stocks.
They're adjustable with Allen keys and things like that. So, here, I'll put it in the show notes. Adjustable combs.
What are they selling for?
It doesn't really say. It just says that it is available. Adjustable comb custom, so it's custom options are available in the Boyd's Classic, Prairie Hunter, Platinum Heritage, and Pro Varmints designs.
So I guess you'd have to actually go through the checkout to see what the prices are going to be then.
Yeah, so.
I can have a look, though.
Yep. I'll add it to here. So, who wants to read our feedback from Adril?
Okay, so another way you can reach the show is doing a feedback right on the actual show. If you go on the website to the show notes, you can actually leave a comment right on the show. And that's what Adril did.
Well, I'll read Adril then. Drill writes in, I am getting a Dillon square deal for reloading pistol ammo. I have a Lepro 1000 as well, but it's so much more cantankerous compared to the square deal. On the Pro 1000, the primer feed mechanism is constantly giving me headaches. It's really slow getting the primers in the tube for the Dillon, but at least the damn thing works once up it's loaded. I think we were talking about the Loadmaster in the last show. It was funny. I was at
actually this was a reply to episode 51 with Mike.
Yeah,
we had Mike on.
Yeah,
when I was not here.
Yeah,
so I just saying. Here.
Oh, and Adril is thehuntinggearguy.com.
Right,
he's also the new co-host on Sunfire Radio.
Yeah.
You haven't listened to the latest episode, have you, George?
Okay.
I'm like way, way behind.
Mm-hmm. So can we actually?
I'm trying to catch up on my gun for hire.
Thomas, you reading?
What I was going to say is that I had my mic muted. It's funny. I was looking at the Pro 1000s maybe 10 years ago, and I went up to Williams Arms and I was speaking to John, and he's got the Dillon. I was asking the difference between the Dillon 550 because I don't think the 650 was out then, because I had the lead turret press and I wanted to go up to progressive press, and I was asking him about the Pro 1000, and John looks at me, he goes, if you want one, I'll order it for you, but I don't want to hear any complaining afterwards. I said, what do you mean? He goes, I've sold four of them, three people have done nothing but
complain,
blank and complain. Goes, the other guy absolutely loves it.
Thank you for saving me the edit.
And I looked at him and said, the other guy, is that Mike K? He goes, yeah, Mike loves it. I said, yeah, he's been trying to sell it to me.
So apparently Mike didn't love it all that much.
He didn't love it all that much. Apparently all it is, the 1000 is like a turret press turned into progressive, mm-hmm. where the Loadmaster is a whole new setup altogether. So, and Lee's actually, the priming systems really are pain, an absolute pain in the butt. And they're... Mm-hmm. As you can, if you go on Canadian Gun Nuts, they're prone to having mass detonations if they're not properly set up and proper primers are used.
Proper personal protection, people?
Yep. Well, it's just a setup because it's on a disc sideways feeding into it where the Dillon is actually, they're stacked in a tube. So it's a much safer way of dispensing the primers into the cartridges. But, you know, quite a few people do have them, and they work. It's just they take so much fine-tuning, so I passed on it.
Mm-hmm. That being said, thanks, Adril, and thank you to Uncle B for writing in.
So, closing comments.
George is the lead host this week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I left an extra long pause in there just to kind of irritate Kelly. I could almost hear the OCD. We say something. Okay, so closing comments.
These are my closing comments.
Okay, take it away, Kelly.
Well, no. Do you want to read them?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
How about it?
Oh, goodness.
Thank God she keeps us classy.
We will be having a gunsmithing episode in the next few weeks. Our guests will be chatting with us about what to look for in used guns and how a gunsmith can help you customize your guns. So if you have any specific questions, then you can please send us an email at host@newshootercanada.ca or visit our website and submit a question there, and we will answer them in the episode. So it's going to probably be within the next 2 weeks that we'll have them on the show.
Who's them?
Who's them?
Who's
them? Do you want to tell everybody?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to have Ken.
Yay.
Ken who? Ken who? Okay. Just Kim, some random Kim's dude husband. Named Ken?
You know, redheaded girl?
Husband, yeah.
Yeah, Kim's husband.
Yeah. Ken from Modern Rifleman Radio is going to be coming on, and he is a gunsmith, and he's currently down in the U.S. Going to gunsmithing school. And then we have a friend of mine from SFRC, Dave. He's a gunsmith as well. He went down to Colorado, and he went to school with Ken. So they're going to get on and just give us some info and that. And they're pretty good guys, too.
Excellent.
Pretty smart. They have a lot of, and also about repair as well. Dave does a lot of repair work, and he's working on something right now for Kevin. So if you have any, questions or maybe ideas that you might want them to talk about, then drop us an email. Go to our website, submit that question like George is telling you.
We'll get some answers from the experts.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe what we'll do is we'll put up a post on our Facebook page, too, and then pin it to the top.
Like Ken, should I drill a hole in the receiver of my 1022 to make it easier to clean?
we're going to ask that question on behalf of Trevor.
Yes. All right.
Okay, quote of the week. I'm guessing this was yours, Thomas?
Maybe. Actually, it wasn't mine. It was Jeff Cooper's.
Okay, well, I'm assuming you put it in?
Yes.
Well, Jeff Cooper's dead, so I'm assuming.
And but he lived a ripe old age.
Who's Jeff Cooper?
You know who Jeff Cooper is?
No.
Oh, he's one of the guys actually started IPSC. He's one of the most well-respected gun writers and firearm instructors in the States.
He's dead.
He's dead.
Sorry.
And Kelly's OCD is alive and well.
I used to read everything I could from Jeff Cooper. He was a very outspoken gentleman, but he was an extremely knowledgeable shooter. I think it was him that he actually started IPSC, was Jeff Cooper.
He died in 2006 in Paul in Arizona. Sorry.
And he loved 1911, so he's my hero.
He founded the Gunsight Academy.
Yeah.
Anyways.
And what was his quote?
The quote this week from Colonel Cooper was, "Safety is something that happens between your ears, not something that you hold in your hands."
Excellent.
That's a pretty good quote, actually.
He was a very smart man.
Okay, shout-outs.
Colonel.
Kelly, what's your shout-out?
I'm going to give a huge shout-out to Brian Sheets from Valkyrie Defense. He earned his rifleman patch again today, but he was able to achieve a score of 239 points out of a possible 250. That's awesome.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. So and he beat finally, Stacey.
I was going to say, he finally beat Stacey.
He beat Stacey. Just thought I'd give him a shout out.
That's an excellent score.
Yeah, it is. I told Kevin. Kevin said, "Where's the other 11 points?" Anyways.
Somebody probably shot his target.
Yeah. Kevin says he'd like to do it again, but he'd hope that next time nobody would shoot his target because he'd really want to see how much he could get. Anyways.
Well, hopefully we'll have a maple seed happening soon because I want to shoot it again too.
Yeah, well, anyways.
Thomas, shoutouts.
I have none this week.
None?
I'm still waiting for a rifle to show up, so until I get it, nobody's getting a shoutout.
Really? You're holding out on a rifle and you're not giving anybody shoutouts?
Nope, I'm going to be screwed just getting close to that time of the year.
Oh, good.
Well, you do look like him.
Bah.
Yeah, Trevor should be changing his Facebook profile picture in a couple months.
He usually does, too. Doesn't he make it screwed around Christmas?
Yeah, changes it to Scrooge.
I love Trevor. If I could do that, I'd do it, too. Anyways, go ahead.
This is the girl that went to sleep with Slamfire last week.
I didn't.
What?
You gotta listen to the show. We're not gonna tell you.
Oh, I didn't listen to last week's show. I just edited it and posted it.
Kelly auditioned for the new host.
I did.
Did you really?
No.
Show jumper.
Anyways.
Although I can't say much because I said I was going to as well.
You both did. I was disappointed in both of you.
But I never did. I didn't apply. I'm happy where I am.
I just told them they needed some estrogen. Anyways.
I think already has enough bamboo.
I'm not touching that. All right. So my shout-out's going to go to Bullseye. Thank you for doing that coupon code for us. I hope our listeners got to take advantage of that and save some money.
I forgot to order something.
Well, I emailed him and asked him about it, and he had thanked us for doing it, and he said just to get a hold of him if I ever want to do it again or put a new twist on it or anything else. So he's open to doing a coupon code again. So.
Okay, sounds good.
So that was cool. I was pleased to see that. So
yeah,
shout out to them.
We posted it everywhere, so I think he might have gotten a little bit more exposure. So that was good.
And we got, like I've said, we've got two local shops, and I really like the service there. You walk in, it's almost like the Cheers. Remember that Cheers show where you walk in, everyone shouts Norm. It's kind of almost like that. You walk in, they don't shout your name, but it's like you'll have like three different guys. Hey. So it's very friendly. Love the store.
It's so nice to be walking in and they know your name already.
What's that?
It's nice when you walk in and they know your name already.
Yeah. Well, I think Williams Arms is like that with you, but you're probably in there every day.
Well, I shoot with them. We all belong to the same club.
There you go. So.
But it's nice.
That's my shout-out. All right.
That's your shout-out.
Yep. Is that it?
Okay. That's it, I guess.
All right.
We even had to say your farewell last week.
I heard.
Took us a second to remember what it was.
Yeah, we can remember.
Yeah, it's until next time, keep your barrels pointed downrange and smoking.
Yeah, we figured it out.
We were going to say Ron Burgundy isn't here, but...
Okay.
So, until next time. Until next time, keep your barrels pointed downrange and smoking.
And take your kids shooting.
And keep your shooting classy.
Good night, everybody.
See you next week.
Good night. 22 now. 45
lever with the Winchester tag. I like my double barrel. Thank you for taking the time and listening to our show. Our audience is important to us, and we encourage our listeners to contact the show with feedback, suggestions, or questions that you may have. You can contact the guys at host@newshootercanada.ca. And please like our Facebook page. Thanks for listening, and have a groovy day.
Trying to take the guns off of us, 'cause I ain't gonna shoot anyone, and no one shoots at me, 'cause I got a gun. I like guns, I like the way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale, well hell I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns. God made the trees, God made you, well hell he even made me. He gave me this voice so I could be a singer. So you tell me why I've got a trigger finger. I like guns, I like the way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale, well hell I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns. I like guns, I like guns.